There's nothing quite like the smell of food cooked on an open fire. Whether it's salmon on a plank, a perfectly cooked burger, or veggie kebabs, it all tastes better on the grill. And Labor Day is right around the corner. Between that and tailgate parties, there are lots of opportunities to fire up the grill. Grilling guru Mad Dog is with us today. Unfortunately, like Larry, his buddy Merle is under the weather. Their mission is to get you grilling and to help you think creatively about what you can cook outside. Mad Dog, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Judith. You know, I have a vision in my mind of two silhouettes, one of Larry, one of Merle, with fishing poles on their shoulders, walking to the stream playing hooky together right now.
You think? Well, we're going to have to track them down and make sure that they're not making us do all the work. But, you know, I'm happy to step in and talk about wonderful food. We talked with Chef Terry Milligan about wonderful ways to use that late summer produce. And now we're going to talk about what to throw on the grill to go along with it. Labor Day later this week. What are some good items to throw on the grill for a fun and easy end of summer meal?
Well, you know, fun and easy, you know, we think of a little bit of the end of summer. By now, I'm afraid to say, even though we're in Wisconsin, everybody's probably a little bit overwhelmed by all the bratwurst they had throughout the whole summer. So I might suggest trying to experiment a little bit with shrimp on the grill, wonderful seafood on the grill, maybe make it a little more special occasion for Labor Day coming up.
Maybe celebrate that the kids are going back to school and everybody can get back in those schedules.
Absolutely. You know, and I know you just got through talking about fresh herbs, but we use so many different fresh herbs with outdoor grilling. You can do different brines where we use the fresh herbs, but marinades, my favorite marinade to marinate fish or chicken or pork is just some wonderful orange juice concentrate, fresh diced up mint, thrown in a Ziploc baggie with a little olive oil and some garlic, and marinate the chicken breast and those for a tad bit and put them on the grill, and they're just phenomenal.
Oh, so mint. I wouldn't think of that. What do you like about that mint combination?
Just the freshness. The freshness of the mint and the orange together, and just the little tartness, a little bite of the garlic, and, of course, some wonderful olive oil. And marinates, of course, have an acid like an orange to break down the surface tissues. Mint and garlic, as the surface tissues are being broke down, that flavorizer works in. And then you add that little bit of olive oil, maybe a tad bit of a tablespoon or two, to help seal that all in. So when you put them on the grill, they brown up beautifully and hold all that great flavor in.
Now, you mentioned some slightly more high-class things to grill, including shrimp and fishes. Now, shrimp cooks really quickly on a stovetop or, you know, like in a stir fry or something. I'm assuming it cooks very quickly on the grill, too.
Yeah, it really does. When people have a problem with shrimp being rubbery, they've overcooked it. Our favorite way is to buy fresh shrimp, peel and devein it yourself, put it on skewers and a medium, and there again, you need to marinate it or glisten it with an oil and season it up. And it's literally 3 to 4 minutes on both sides. You know, we like to tell people to accessorize lately, and those grill baskets or grill woks are just phenomenal for shrimp.
And what about fish? What are some of the better types of fish, or when you're at the fish counter, what do you want to look for in a fish that will be good on the grill?
Well, you know, if you haven't grilled fish very often, salmon is probably the most forgiving. That's when you glisten it with a little oil, you season it up, you slap it skin side down directly on the grates of the grill, and the natural juices, those beautiful omega oils, perk to the top. They're firm to the touch in about 12 minutes, and that's when the salmon's done. And if you do have a tendency to overcook a little bit, you have enough omega-3s, enough oils in there that the meat product is still delicious.
Now, you say you put it skin down right on the grill. Do you actually turn it, or do you just leave it that way?
You know, you don't need to. Now, you can experiment until you get a feel for grilling fish. I'll actually, my way to do it would be to oil the salmon very nice, season it up real nice, and on a medium direct heat, I'll start out with the flesh side down for about 2 to 3 minutes just to get some score marks and to be a catalyst to get the cooking process going, and then easily flip it over to the skin side down. But it's perfectly easy just to leave skin side down, never have to touch it.
We are talking with grilling expert Mad Dog, who, along with his buddy Merrill, are nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologists. They are the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin', and they've written several cookbooks. The latest is Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Cookbook. And Mad Dog would be happy to answer your questions about grilling. What do you like to throw on the grill? Do you want to expand your repertoire, but you're not quite sure how? Mad Dog has some great ideas. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go to our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mehler Show. Mehler is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. You can post a question, comment, or a recipe there. We'd love to have those. Now, Mad Dog, this comes up every once in a while, but I think it bears repeating. What's the secret to cooking a great burger?
You know, cuts the meat are, Judith, cuts the meat are getting leaner and leaner, and people love to buy ground round or meats with less fat in, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. like grass-fed beef. The key for us is to patty it nice and thick. If you want to stuff the burgers with peppers and onions and different ingredients, that's fine. But the idea is to a nice, higher heat, direct cooking, brown them up about 3 to 4 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes on both sides. And I treat them like little roasts. I put them off to the side then where there is no heat. You put the hood down. You make sure the vegetables that you might be doing in the house are on the grill, or the salads, or the guests are getting ready. And you can literally play with the temperature if you have a gas grill. And you can keep those on there up to 15, 20 minutes to a half hour, you know, playing with the temperature-wise. And as the slower you take the moisture, the slower you cook that product, the less moisture comes out of it.
And I remember you giving very specific directions to someone, and I remember her calling actually a few months later to say that she followed your directions and it was the best burger ever. You said never press down on that burger when it's on the grill.
You know, you're absolutely right. You know, the old days, if you have burger with a 60, you know, 50-50 fat versus meat in there, you can do whatever you want and you can't ruin it. But nowadays, you got to keep them gently. We've been working a lot with the Wisconsin grass-fed co-op. And so we've been doing a lot of grass-fed beef because we know people are more and more health conscious, and bison too, by the way. And the same principle applies. The slower you can cook that meat product, the more moisture retains in it. So it's kind of nice. Nice, beautiful steaks can be browned up on one side and then the other and then moved over where there is no heat. Or we'll use cast iron skillets and sear the dickens out of both sides. And then move that cast iron skillet off to where there is no heat on the grill, but there's a heat source to the left or to the right. Put the hood down and slow cook them.
Well, and you just mentioned bison as another type of meat. Do you always use 100% meat, beef, or do you like to mix it up? I actually really love a third ground lamb and two-thirds grass-fed beef with some fresh garlic and some Moroccan spices mixed in.
Now, are we talking burgers, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah, mix them up. Berkshire hogs, they're trying to bring back the fat into the pork. So the good folks at Berkshire, just a breed of hogs, they have a little more fat. So you mix that in with a little bit of beef or mix it in with some lamb, and it's just phenomenal. We've been working a lot with lamb also, and beautiful lamb chops, racks, you know, things like that. They're just delicious on the grill, but they're, again, it's a leaner cut of meat in some realms where you have to treat it gently, but they're just delicious.
Now, since we've just cooked the perfect burger, at least in our imaginations here, what do you like to put on it, if anything, before you serve it?
You know, we just had the in-laws over a tad bit ago, and I'll actually take an aluminum drip pan or a skillet and off to a little bit of a low heat underneath it, and I'll drizzle some wonderful olive oil. And I'll slice peppers and onions, and I'll saute those, get them going a little bit, and I'll actually sear the burgers up, put them on top of those sauteing peppers and onions, put the hood down, and let everything just slow cook together. And my God, I swear it was the best burgers we've had in years. Just those fried peppers and onions on top of that burger were phenomenal.
I bet everybody's always happy when you host a party.
You know something? I don't think anybody's cooked for me, Judith, in a long time.
Oh.
I'm kind of missing it. I know. It's a sad thing.
Well, that's it. Larry and I will cook for you sometime.
Would you do that,
please? We would happily do that. Well, let's go to Pete in Elm Grove. I don't know if he'll cook for us, but let's see what he has to say. Hi, Pete.
Well, if you're willing to make the trek to Elm Grove, I've got some ribs you got to try that are unbelievable.
Well, tell us about them.
And they're the simplest thing ever. You know, you don't have to pre-cook them. They're not like a fall-off-the-bone kind of rib. What I do is I take baby back ribs, and then there's only two other ingredients. I grab a giant jar of chopped garlic and then salt, and I just rub them really well with the garlic and the salt, and then I put them on the grill medium-low for maybe 45 minutes to an hour. You kind of have to worry them a little bit so they don't burn, but, you know, you constantly flip them, and they just wind up golden brown, and they are just amazing, and everybody I make them for, it just raves about them. You know, you just wait till the meat kind of pulls back from the ends of the bones, and they're just really delicious.
That sounds really good, Peter. What do you think, Mad Dog? You willing to make the trip?
I am willing to make the trip for a good rack of ribs any day. Pete, we always use what's called the Texas crutch. We'll season your ribs any way you want, like yours with the garlic and salt. We'll sear the ever-living dickens out of both sides. And then we have people wrap them up in aluminum foil, move them over to the side where there is no heat for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then just sear them off at the end. And for people having problems with doing ribs or problems with doing direct method like you're doing, that's probably the easiest way we tell folks is use the old Texas crutch, sear them up, wrap them up, move them over where there's no heat for about an hour, and then sear them off again.
Mad Dog, is it a regional thing whether people do beef ribs or pork ribs?
You know, I think it's more of an age, Judith. You know, I'm up. Meryl and I are getting up there in age, and we grew up and we did a lot of beef ribs in our days. But you know, they're pretty greasy stuff. And gosh darn it all, pork ribs. You know, if you do them right, they're delicious. The beef ribs are so rich, and every time I've tried to do them, the only way I've done them actually that they turned out there again was grass-fed beef because they're a little bit leaner.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have to... Go ahead, Mad Dog.
No, I was just going to reiterate one more time. I think it's like using sauerkraut. It's an age factor. We have to get kids back into doing sauerkraut and doing beef ribs, into cooking, eating lamb and things like that, you know, that kind of is going by the wayside sometimes.
Well, and I have to say, I might be in the minority here, but I actually, you know, Peter was saying, you know, a lot of people's idea of a perfect rack of ribs is falling off the bone. I actually like to have to do a little work. I like it to be a little less meaty and a little more kind of get that crispy edges and, you know, do some gnawing.
Yeah. Yep, that's what makes the world go round, isn't it?
Something for everyone, especially when we're talking about grilling. Well, Peter, we would be happy to come up for some of those ribs. They sound delicious. We are going to keep talking with grilling expert Mad Dog coming up after a look at the news. He's usually on with his buddy Merrill, who is a little under the weather like Larry is today. They are nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologists. They're the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grilling. Always lots to talk about. We will also get to Mary Lynn and Fred, who are on the line, and you too, if you'd like to call 1-800-642-1234 to talk about grilling with Mad Dog. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, back after the news. Grilling gurus Mad Dog and Merrill always have great tips for getting the most out of your grilling experience. We're happy to have Mad Dog with us today. I'm guessing if you've eaten something, they've probably tried to cook it outside. I'm Judith Sears Poisson sitting in for Larry Mueller today. Good to have you along on the Ideas Network. With Labor Day coming up and tailgating just around the corner, it's a perfect time to talk with Mad Dog about what's cooking. Merle's a little under the weather today, as is Larry, so Mad Dog and I are flying solo. Mad Dog, always a lot of fun to have you with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk about grilling, let me tell you. It's our livelihood. So.
Well, and I know you guys are year-round grillers, too.
You know, something we really are, and you know, during the stage presentation, we ask different questions, like how many ladies do outdoor grilling nowadays, which is phenomenal. Then I ask how many people grill all year round, and then I have them keep their hands up because I tell them I want to count the fools.
Yeah.
Because it gets so cold out there in the wintertime, but people love to cook all year round, and it's just part of nature and part of life here in the Midwest.
Well, Mary Lynn in Brookfield wants to get grilling, so let's go there. Hi, Mary Lynn.
Hi.
What's your question?
Well, my question is, I want to recreate a meal I had out on the Oregon coast. And what we had was grilled salmon. And I'm not sure if it had a plank under it or not, or whatever it was, but it was a much larger salmon than I'll probably have access to, because we fed probably about 24, 28 people. So what are your suggestions for doing that, and the best ways to procure? I want to use an Alaskan salmon because they're in season right now, so that would be a special kind of treat for me and my kids and grandkids.
So you want to do the whole fish on the grill?
I do.
All right. What do you think, Mad Dog?
Well, you know, there's nothing in the world like fresh Alaskan salmon. In mid-May, when the Copper River salmon run, and we're fortunate enough to get down the food chain here in the Midwest and finally get some Copper River salmon in, it's just phenomenal stuff. It is so fresh, so beet red, so full of antioxidants and omega-3s. It's phenomenal. You know, it swims like 5 years in the ocean just for us. And if you want to do some plank cooking of that, the best way to do it is to get a piece of Alaskan salmon with the skin off. You need to take the skin off it if you want to do plank cooking. So because the skin gets awfully soft underneath, okay, between the plank and the meat.
So you want the meat right on that wood.
Exactly the point. Thank you. So we'll take a nice slab of salmon. We'll take a nice cedar plank or oak or hickory, whatever you have that's untreated. That's about three quarters of an inch thick. You need to soak that plank in water up until the last moment before grilling. That's the key thing. Now we'll take that slab of salmon. We'll glisten it with an oil. We'll season it up real nice. If you want to sprinkle a little brown sugar over the top of it, you certainly can. But nice, beautiful olive oil over the top, some wonderful seasonings over the top of that salmon. Now the plank is in the water. The salmon is seasoned. Now we go to the grill and we fire it up at a nice high heat, whether it's charcoal or gas, a nice high direct heat. Now you can take the plank out of the water. You slap the salmon on the plank where the skin was, that side down. You directly go to the grates of the grill. You put that plank with the salmon on top on the grates of the grill, put the hood down, and you literally don't peek for about 20 minutes.
Hmm.
And when you lift up that hood, the smoke will be bellowing around. You can judge by then that you need to put the hood back down, and you usually double the time. So if it takes 12 to 15 minutes directly on the grates of the grill, it's going to take 24 minutes to a half hour on the plank. And the cedar or the wood is bellowing around it. The flavor, the aroma is fantastic. The plank protects the fish from the heat so that it stays nice and moist. And it's just delicious.
So the plank is serving several purposes. It's helping to cook it evenly. It's also protecting, you said, the fish from those direct flames. And then, of course, because it's wet, it's creating this wonderful aromatic smoke vapor.
Exactly right. Yep. If that plank is not wet, you have a harsh smoke, and harsh smoke is harsh flavor.
And where can you get those planks? Are they readily available?
You know something, so many different people have tried to get them on the market all over the place. And as a rule, you can find them at grill stores. You can find them in the section by the hardware stores where the grills and the grates and the accessories are. You know, you can go online and order them, I'm sure. Or you can literally, and I hate to say this, I go to a blank depot or one of those places that sells lumber.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to mention any names. I go to Lowe's or Home Depot, and I go and find cedar planking or cedar fence posting that you'd build a fence with that's untreated cedar. And I've literally gone and purchased for $1.72 a 6-foot piece of cedar and cut it to my own section.
And I think it is key to say you want to get untreated wood, because you don't want to be heating up wood that has a lot of chemicals in it that's going into your food.
Thank you. And that's the reason I really didn't want to talk about where to get it or how to get it or when to get it. But as long as that wood, no matter where you get it, is untreated, you can go to a rough mill that saws, you know, wood products. If you go across the road and you see these bunch of pallets up and it's an old lumber yard, stop in and ask if they got any piece of untreated wood. You know, I mean, there's ways to get it, and you can order it online, and grill stores do carry them.
All right. And Mary Lynn, did that answer your question? Are you ready to tackle that salmon?
Well, I think so. The only other question I had was if this salmon had, like, fennel fronds and I think some red onions in it, and it was served with a cucumber sour cream sauce. Does that kind of sound right to you?
Well, certainly, and you can, as you're planking that salmon, you can create your own sauces to ladle over the top or to glaze at the end, like your cucumber sauce. You can do peppers and onions. Salmon is such a hearty cut of meat, I've actually taken thin slices of peppers and onions, and as you oil and season the salmon raw, you can put that raw peppers and onion slices over the top of the salmon, put it on the plank, and the peppers and onions cook on top of the salmon at the same time. And besides looking nice, it tastes great.
And then you put your
little cucumber sauce or dill sauce or caper sauce over the top of the salmon, and it's delicate looking, it's delicious looking, and it's full of antioxidants.
Sounds good, and good luck with that, Mary Lynn. Now, Mad Dog, is it only fish that you recommend doing on a plank?
Oh, God, no. We've been experimenting with so many things. In fact, sauerkraut, honest to goodness, I'm going to bring up sauerkraut. We take sauerkraut, nice crisp kraut, drain it out of the bag. I'll put it in a bowl. I'll dice up some nice fresh apples, maybe one apple into a bag. I'll add a quarter cup or so of brown sugar to it, maybe some caraway seeds or diced onions. So I'll season that sauerkraut, and I'll take that plank out of the water, put that seasoned sauerkraut over the top of it, and I'll put chicken breast, duck breast, pheasant breasts, kielbasa rings, the list goes on and on, pork chops over the top of it, whatever you want, and put that plank on the grill with the kraut underneath it and the meat on top, and slow cook it with the plank, you know, protecting everything for about 30 minutes. And literally, you can sear up steaks on one side, put them on that wet plank, put the wet plank on the grill, and you can do smoked steaks that way, hamburger, shrimp, scallops, bratwurst. We've been experimenting. I wish I could write a book on plank cooking because I wish I could. I can.
Oh, I was going to say, what's stopping you?
Yeah, what's stopping you? Exactly right. What is stopping me, for God's sake?
Okay,
there literally is nothing you can't put on the top. I've done frog legs on top of there, and they've come out delicious.
I'll have to tell my husband about that. He's a big frog leg fan. I have to say, delicious. Mad Dog, that you now officially hold the title of someone who will grill anything and everything when I now know that you grill sauerkraut.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, sauerkraut salad, sauerkraut stuffed, you know, you can, it's just phenomenal. I'll take sauerkraut and stovetop stuffing and mix it together and make my own little sauerkraut stuffing and stuff chicken breast with that. And it's just phenomenal.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, just delicious.
Well, even Economowoc has something to add on the plank topic, so let's go there. Hi, Eve.
Good morning. Hi, so nice to talk to you. Great show. Actually, I have bought the cedar planks and the hickory planks almost at my local grocery store here in Conemaugh. We have Pick and Save, so they are so readily available. And Mad Dog is correct. The sauerkraut on the grill on the plank is absolutely wonderful.
How did I miss out on this? This is the first time hearing about it.
But I just purchased for a gift for my other half some pimento wood. And we're going to be doing some jerk chicken on the grill. And it's along the same lines. So I was wondering if Mad Dog ever had a chance to cook with pimento leaves and wood, et cetera.
Wow.
No, my eyes just opened out. My eyes opened up and so did my mouth, thinking to myself, no, I have not. It sounds
okay.
Delicious.
I think you should give it a whirl.
What's special about that wood, Eve?
Well, it's from Jamaica, and it's harvested, and then they replenish it. It's, I believe it's dead wood, if I'm not mistaken. I did get it online, charcoal and the wood, and it's almost like thick kind of bamboo-ish looking. And then the pimento leaves almost look like bay leaf-ish to me. And again, we haven't used it yet. I just got it as a gift for him in August, the early part. So we're hoping to do it probably this Labor Day weekend, do something jerk on the grill. And it's a little kit, and it was pimentowood.com, and that's where you can purchase it. So,
well, and that sounds like the best kind of gift because you're going to get to enjoy it too.
That's right.
You betcha. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And let's go next to Don in Minocqua. Hi, Don.
Hello. We have a nice meat store up here in Minocqua, and they, while they're cutting your meat, they have shelves with condiments and all sorts of interesting things to look at. And lo and behold, I found Mad Dog and Merrill barbecue sauce. And I bought some of that, and I really like it. And I use it on a hot dog instead of ketchup and mustard. I use Mad Dog and Merrill sauce.
Well,
and
good for
it's
you.
Great beef ribs with them. And I would advise anybody to give it a try.
Well, thanks for that call, Don. And Mad Dog, what goes into a good barbecue sauce?
You know something, tender, loving care.
And a little bit of love.
Yeah, a little bit of love. You know, you got to have the sugar in there, and I apologize, but it's just what caramelizes things so nice. And then we put molasses and pineapple in ours and lots of garlic and herbs and spices. And we do have four wonderful barbecue sauces, a sweet and rich number one, a garlic, a hickory, and a spicy. And maybe the one the gentleman's talking about, too, we have a neat one called Dough Works. And it's got literally has sun-ripened tomato of 70%. So it's like a homemade ketchup. And then we put sauerkraut, onion, and just a tad bit of horseradish mustard in there. And it's like for bratwurst, hot dogs, ring bologna, kibasa, and hamburgers. It's called Dough Works, and it's just delicious.
So yet again, sauerkraut is making an appearance.
Exactly the point. Sauerkraut, we'll get it into their system whether they know it's in that bottle or not, by golly.
Well, so you want something that's sweet, but then you also want something to balance it out that's a little acidic.
Ours is the Midwesterners love a mixture between Carolina style with the vinegar base and stuff like that and a sweet, sweet, sweet barbecue sauce. So us Midwesterners, as a rule, are middle of the road somewhere in there. And the sauces we put out are made in Wisconsin. Our spices are all ground up in Oak Creek down by Milwaukee. The spices, sauces are made by the good friends that make Silver Springs mustards and horseradish out of Eau Claire. They do all our wet products for us, which we have three wonderful marinades also. So
sounds good to me. And I think we should apologize to everybody who's been listening for the last hour and a half or so, making everybody hungry. Hopefully they've got a lunch in front of them. But if not, I bet they're going to be going out for some barbecue. We're talking with Mad Dog. He and his buddy Merle are grilling experts and nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologists. Mad Dog is happy to hear what you throw on the grill and to give you ideas if you're looking for something new to try this Labor Day weekend or maybe for a tailgate party coming up. I'm Judith Sears Poisson sitting in for Larry Mueller. You can join in by calling 1-800-642-1234. And we have Roberto in Green Bay up next. Let's go there. Hi, Roberto.
Hey, you guys. How you doing? Hey, Mad Dog. Good. I got a question, and you're probably not going to dig this, but I heard that putting meat directly onto tinfoil is not healthy or good because of the properties in the metal. Maybe you agree or disagree, but what about if you wrap your meat in parchment paper? I mean, do the cooking that you like, the searing ribs, like you say, and then wrap them in parchment paper and then put them in tin foil. How would that work, do you think?
You know, as long as there's no direct heat, as you sear things up, put them in the parchment paper, move it over to where there's no heat, the same principle applies that should be oven cooking, you know, then that it should work. Theoretically, it works, and I agree with you. We try so hard not to wrap things up in aluminum foil for a couple of reasons, because you do want the full flavor of the grill, and that's why we have a lot of times we have people sear the meat products up, move them where there's no heat, and slow cook that meat product, that's for sure. You know, the racks of ribs, you know, I apologize for wrapping them up in foil and putting them off to the side, but it just seems to work sometimes, you know?
Right. What about in parchment paper and then in tin foil to kind of maintain that heat?
Would it get soggy? You know something? I know. I think that may work. You know, we do a sweet corn recipe where doesn't matter. I huff the sweet corn. You take a sheet of aluminum foil and a sheet of paper toweling, and now we put a puddle of a white wine or red wine on the paper toweling, drizzle a little olive oil, some garlic and herbs, and a little squeezing of lemon or lime. And we roll that sweet corn up in the paper toweling first, which is dampened, and then up in the aluminum foil. And you're right, it protects it that way. So there would be ways to get around it. You're right, maybe I better start experimenting with that.
There you go. That'll be on your list along with writing that sauerkraut grilling book.
It will, in my retirement days.
There you go. Thanks, Roberto. And we do have some other folks online that I want to get to, but I want to make sure we let people know about some events you guys have coming up. You're going to be at the Minnesota State Fair this week.
Thursday we'll be at the Minnesota State Fair. During the 3 o'clock hour, we're actually going to be broadcasting. They broadcast live. They're a show called Twin Cities Live, which is a very popular show in Minnesota. So we'll be there Thursday at the Minnesota State Fair at 3 o'clock for Twin Cities Live, doing three different ways to do chicken. The next day, we're at the Rhinelander Wausau Market. We're on NBC 12 Friday Live during the 11 o'clock news. And if you happen to be in the Rhinelander area on Saturday, there's a great event called Potato Fest. And we have a stage presentation, and we'll be there around 11 o'clock in the morning hour. And then on Sunday, we're on Fox 11 Live of the Green Bay Market at 7:50 and 8:50. But you can always catch our half-hour show throughout the whole state of Wisconsin, Minnesota, on Sunday mornings. Throughout the state of Wisconsin, Minnesota, the next half-hour grilling show.
Great, and you can get lots of information about events and recipes and all kinds of great things at Mad Dog and Merrill's website, which is Mad Dog and Merrill. It's MERRILL.com. Lots of great information there, and we have a link to that on our Facebook page. Let's go back to the phones and Larry in Sherwood. Hi, Larry.
Hi. My question is, when he's talking about cooking on a plank, is that and using charcoal, is it over indirect heat or direct heat?
It would be over direct heat. It would be just a nice medium-high direct heat. You know, a layer and a half of charcoal is what I'm saying, good and gray.
And I'm guessing that it's safe to do it over that direct heat because you've got that plank as kind of a little buffer between the meat and the flame.
That's exactly right. No matter what grill you use, gas or charcoal or whatever it is, the more you lift the hood and peek at it, the more chance you have of drying the plank out and air hitting that dried plank or drying plank, that's the only chance you might ever get a flare-up.
Ah.
A flame around the wood if you peek. So this is like it's a no-peeking.
No-peeking zone.
Well, no-peeking zone, exactly.
And so you're really cooking it with a wet heat because there's all that moisture that's in the plank being released.
Exactly right.
Well,
and when we preach about indirect method of cooking, we always try to ask people to put a pan of water or apple juice or beer or wine down below so that moisture goes back into your cooking at the same time also.
Sounds great. Let's go to Don in Madison next. Hi, Don.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Good, Don.
Good. Hey, this weekend I'm going to be smoking a brisket, beef brisket, I've got a little Brinkman smoker, and I was wondering if you had any advice for me.
You know something, and if you've done briskets before, you know that when you get to that 5, 6, 7 hours of smoking that brisket, you still have another 4, 5, 6 hours of smoking that brisket left to go. So the more you cook a brisket, the tender it's going to be.
All right.
And you know, what's so great about brisket? Because I know it's a really popular meat to smoke and to do on a grill.
You know, it kind of reverts back to those beef ribs because there's so much fat in between the ribs of the meats. And the brisket's the same way. It's got that gorgeous cap over the top. And it, with that cap, the juices just keep dripping down into the meat as you're cooking it. And it's one of the richest cuts of meat when you're done. And inside that brisket, there's layers of, and I hate to say it, layers of marbleization or fat. And it's just the most ungodly delicious thing in the world when you're done.
Well, we only have a minute or so left, Mad Dog, but you said that you're encouraging people to accessorize more. What are some of the really good grill accessories that we might want to branch out into, and how would we use them?
You know, those grill baskets or grill plates or grill baskets are delicious. Wonderful to use in the grill for stir frying and doing vegetables. The grill grates that you use, the little perforated hold plates that you put on the grates of the grill are wonderful. We talked a little bit about shish kebabs. Shish kebab sets are nice to do on the grill. Oh, God, pizza stones, please. We've been doing pizzas on the grill, and it's just phenomenal. The same pizza stone you use in your oven, you put them on the grill, you preheat them to 400 degrees, you slip a frozen pizza on, put the hood down, and it's phenomenal. If you do your own pizzas and you want to do a hotter heat with the thinner crust pizzas, put the pizza stone on, get it up to 500, 600 degrees in your grill, slip the homemade pizza crust on there, and it's phenomenal. So experiment with pizza stones. That's my last word of the day.
Well, and I have to say, tying into our talk with Chef Terry Milligan at the start of the program today, she has a recipe for arugula and tomato pizza for using that late summer produce. I bet that would be great on the grill.
Absolutely wonderful. Phenomenal. Pizza's on the grill, and you don't have to heat your kitchen up.
Mad Dog, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My pleasure. Join us on Facebook when you go on our website. Hit on Facebook and join us on there. You can find out weekly where we're at.
Sounds great. Mad Dog and his buddy Merle are grilling experts. They are the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merle's Midwest Grillin', and they've written several cookbooks. Join us tomorrow when entomologist Phil Pelletieri is here. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Thanks for listening.